Please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded, positive news stories every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
Every weekday, we publish 10 stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we'll be sharing these solutions in a commute and home office-worthy podcast.
By subscribing, listening to, and reading and sharing The Optimist Daily, you are on the front lines of action-oriented steps towards solving our world's biggest problems. First you, then 100,000, and then 100 million people focused on solutions will change the world for good.
Today is Friday, March 20th, 2020.
And here are today's top solutions. Fear can spread faster than any virus. Here's how to stop it from health. The basis of a pandemic is the rapid spread of disease, but feelings of fear and panic can spread even faster than a highly contagious virus. The global reach of modern media, paired with images of empty stores and messages of economic doom, demonstrate how the fear of contagion is inflicting our society. So why does this happen, and how can we prevent it? Fight or flight is ingrained in us. When we perceive a threat, the amygdala in our brain receives sensory information and quickly detects stimuli associated with danger. It then transfers this message from brain to the rest of the body to facilitate a response. We are also trained to watch other members of our species for clues about potential danger. Imagine one gazelle sensing danger and running. When it runs, the whole herd naturally follows. This is why we are so in tune with the panic of others. We even have a specific brain region, the anterior cingulate cortex, or ACC, which lights up when we sense fear in others. The ACC then transfers this to the amygdala and triggers our own fight or flight instinct. People rely on each other. This is why it is so easy for fear to spread through large groups of people. Unfortunately, the constant nature of social media and the 24-hour news cycle means that our brains never get a break from these fear triggers. And that's how mass panic spreads. But fortunately, there are solutions. It's important to stay informed, so shutting out all news is not necessarily the solution. But maintain a few reliable, accurate sources and check them regularly for updates for critical information. But otherwise, consider taking a media break. The Optimist Daily is a good option. Limit your time on social networking sites and block out sensationalist news that seeks to elicit reaction rather than to inform. Lastly, be a source of calm. We all look to others for how to respond to a crisis. So if you stay calm and remain a confident figure for those around you, especially children who pay extra attention to their elders for behavioral cues, you can spread positive emotional contagion. Our ability to read other humans and respond accordingly is one of our greatest assets. It allows societies to collaborate, share ideas, and be empathetic. As COVID-19 breeds feelings of fear and uncertainty, use this innate human response as a solution and bring those around you together in community spirit, rather than allowing us to be torn apart out of fear.
Christy, this is so important right now. I love the reminder that we are all like the gazelles, right? Tail goes up, everybody runs. We can choose to be calm and work our way through this. And as a society, we will benefit from it. And we know that there's a tremendous media responsibility for accuracy and calm and good information.
And that's where the Optimist Daily comes in. And this is really an opportunity for us to stay connected with our problem-solving mindset, not get panicked, not make dumb decisions because we are afraid, but stay together, stay positive, and stay close to the people who matter. And remember that what we're doing right now by staying home is an altruistic act, not just for ourselves and our own families, but for other people in our community. So that's a good thing you can do.
It's a phrase that we've been working around the office of positive emotional contagion. Let's spread it. Now, switching gears a little bit to the environment, we have exciting news. A wild tapir gave birth in Brazil for the first time in more than a century. The Atlantic forest, which once covered more than 1 million square kilometers along the eastern coast of Brazil and Argentina, has been steadily sliced and diced by loggers, plantation owners, and economic development. Trees now cover just 7 to 15% of the forest's former area, mostly in shrinking fragments between expanding cities, but it remains a globally important ecosystem due to its role in carbon sequestration, water management, and habitat provision to a wide range of species, including capybaras, armadillos, toucans, and capuchins. The wild tapir was once a crucial member of this ecosystem, helping to spread and disperse seeds, but had been eradicated from the Rio de Janeiro state in 2014. But now, just as with wolves in Yellowstone and beavers in the United Kingdom, the tapir is being reintroduced to accelerate restoration of the degraded habitat. Since 2017, 4 captive bred males and 3 females have been put into the forest. Recently, for the first time in more than a century, a wild tapir was born in the Atlantic forest. The images of the pig-like calf with a characteristic prehensile snout were captured by a camera in the Guapicau Ecological Reserve and released in Brazilian media outlets. Researchers believe the calf was born in January and a second may be on its way because another adult female appears to be pregnant. Marone Gaez, a professor of biology at the Federal Institute of Education, Science, and Technology of Rio de Janeiro, said this was a milestone for the reintroduction project, which has been 8 years in planning and implementation. Reintroducing a precious species back into its old habitat to save degraded lands, now that's a solution we can get behind.
I love it, Summer. That's I want to see one of those, a picture of that little baby tapir.
You can see them on optimistdaily.com. They're adorable, and that's just kind of a feel-good story.
It's a nice story. We all can use some good news right now. All right, another good news story. 3D printed valves are saving the lives of COVID-19 patients from our design category. It is clear that 3D printing will have a big impact on the medical world in the near future. For hospitals in northern Italy facing rising numbers of COVID-19 cases, the technology is already saving lives. When doctors needed a replacement valve for the reanimation device and the supplier was out, they successfully printed one for themselves. One reason why it's critical to slow the spread of the virus is that many patients require oxygenation and intensive care to successfully fight off the disease, but many regions lack the resources to offer this care to large numbers of patients. Fortunately, 3D printing may be able to help close the supply gap in hospitals. One particular hospital in Brescia, one of the regions most heavily impacted by COVID-19, contacted Fab Lab in Milan on March 13th and asked if it would be possible to 3D print these critical valves. Fab Lab put the hospital in contact with Isinova, a company that responded to this call by bringing a 3D printer straight to the hospital. By the evening of March 14th, 10 patients were successfully being supported by the printed valves. That's just a one-day turnaround, folks. That's quite amazing. As of yesterday, hundreds of hospitals have reached out for access to the 3D valve printing model. The Italian company has shared its plans in a downloadable file, and other medical facilities around the world are adopting this life-saving solution.
Another great story in building community. Landlord in Arkansas has restaurant owners pay employees instead of rent. In these difficult times, more and more tough decisions have to be made by companies and businesses, including closing for business and laying off workers. But in Arkansas, the property owner of several restaurants is making life a little easier. In an effort to help restaurant owners and their employees, the Young Investment Company is urging owners to pay their employees and take care of their families instead of paying rent. More people staying home means less money in restaurant pockets and that of their employees. But by redirecting rent toward employees in need, Young Investment Company is showing us how we can all get through this together.
That's an excellent example of having the stakeholder in mind and not just profits. I love that story.
Yeah. There's just a lot of stories to love today. I'm feeling, you know what? This is
feeling good, feeling positive.
This is the way to start the day, right? Meeting with you every morning at 8 a.m. to record this is literally what's helping me get through all of this. So,
me too, Summers. All right, for a final story today, when it ends up in landfills, food waste becomes a source of methane, a greenhouse gas even more potent than carbon dioxide. A Toronto-based startup called Genesis has figured out a way to turn these emissions into something valuable instead, compostable plastic that can replace plastic made from petroleum. To achieve this incredible transformation, the company uses two types of bacteria. The first one breaks down the food waste into fatty acids, while the second type eats these fatty acids and eventually turns them into a polymer to store energy. And because it's naturally occurring polymer, it makes the material fully compostable, meaning that once you throw it away into a natural environment, bacteria will quickly rush in to eat it. In contrast, other types of compostable plastic can't break down quite as easily. A corn-based plastic fork, for example, acts like regular plastic if it ends up in the ocean. The startup is partnering with the food service company Sodexo, which sees it as a potential circular solution. Food waste from corporate cafeterias could be turned into compostable foodware for those same cafeterias, closing the loop on both food and plastic waste.
This is a great time to not only keep an eye on our community, but also keep focus on the other solutions that are happening out there in the world. While in some ways it may feel like business has stopped as we are all staying home to support our healthcare workers, there is still a lot of good going on in the world. Thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update, everyone.
We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is change for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. That means you're part of what is supporting reader-funded independent journalism for just $5 a month. Our emissaries and our readers are incredibly important to us at The Optimist Daily. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Bye, everybody.